Ingalls from Templeton Community Services. Anyway, that's what they're, but it's an open election. I mean, any member can nominate anybody, but these are the recommended ones that are coming back before they commit. Well,
I think it's stupid that we're not following some kind of movement that they submit their applications, they review it and have an interview process. And then they make the recommendation.
They did this once before too. They just tried to nominate somebody the first time around.
Right.
That won't do all the rank downs. This time they went out after rank downs.
That's correct.
They might not be able to resolve it tomorrow either.
Good. Okay. Item number 10, director's comments. Any director's comments?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. It comes up under that, as a board may remember, we have an ordinance that sunsets January 1997 that allows phasing. In that context, there can be kind of will serves that are lined up because we want, before they start their next phase, we want to make sure that our system students are paid, so it can come up in that context.
Mm-hmm. So then it wouldn't be back by lot though?
No. We do it by phases.
Percentage by
percentage. Right. There's been a lot of procedural problems with that ordinance, and that's why the board about 6 months ago, sunsetted it so that we won't find ourselves trapped in this trying to police a phasing process. So that's how it comes up. Additionally, the district, in a normal process, there is what can be considered two will serve letters, because if somebody comes in with a project, we give them an intent to serve letter or a conditional letter. And then when they get up to recording their map, and they've complied with all of our conditions, then we give them a will serve letter, an actual guarantee of service, when they've paid their system fees, which allows them then to record their 7-week map. So somebody could say we have two will serve systems on the basis of an intent to serve letter. Then they fulfill their conditions, then we give them a will serve letter, and they record
the intent to serve as well as that there's five to six
conditions that they can give them.
Payment of fees, the plan specs,
Right. Special
agreement, all that.
Yeah, the distribution is your additional will serve letter, and that does confuse it because of the patient and the services.
Do you like denounce that 25% of the money?
No, it will be as at the end of this year, as long as the end of this. By the way, we're one of the, that was a kind of an idea, just so refresh your recollection. A lot of jurisdictions were doing that at the time to help development within their jurisdictions, but it became such a headache to enforce, because the county wants a will serve letter when you record your map. And of course, the map isn't in phase, it's just one map. So once the map is recorded, the ability for the district to police when they're starting the second phase almost disappears. And FISMA had that problem, and all the jurisdictions have tried to do some phasing to help developers run into a procedural nightmare of trying to implement it. In fact, I think we're probably dealing with jurisdiction. I know. Do you know what
I mean? When you have the problems where there's one or two more requests to process.
My preference is the trustees, that it can work. But the problem is that developers don't want to put a time limitation on when the next phase starts, which triggers the district's ability to foreclose on the trust deed. So most developers are more willing to give you a trust deed, but they kind of want this open-ended period of time in which they can even foreclose in. So it gets to be a very difficult one. The one that I do like, that I don't have a problem recommending to the district, is a letter of credit from the bank. Because what that tells you is if they don't perform, the bank is on the hook, not some open-ended deed of trust, and there is no cost to the district other than sending a letter to the bank to get paid. Whereas if you have a deed of trust, as a general rule, the foreclosure company will include its cost in the foreclosure deal. But then if you get yourself involved in litigation, then it just runs
undermined. Is there any way you can do, say, with that deed of trust, to say, okay, you have a foreclosure company somehow, so it gets on the record so that when somebody buys the property and says, hey, this is the case, you can't do anything.
And the problem, too, our district operates on this basis. We don't issue our will serve letters, which basically says we don't reserve your capacity in our system until the money's on the table. That's our policy. Other districts and other cities, and it's a mixed bag, believe it, we're not the only one that does it our way, but other ones will say, we will give you the will serve letter. In other words, we will reserve the capacity in our system, but you don't pay for it until you actually connect, the physical connection occurs to put an individual house onto the system. You know, it's really a policy call on how a local agency, whether it be a city or a district, operates. This district has always taken the philosophy that if you're going to reserve capacity in our system, you pay for it at the time you reserve the capacity.
I'm not so sure that that's a great idea.
Well, it may not be. That's a policy issue.
Yeah.
It's a policy
issue. But, you know, by the time they get through with the county, they're numb. They truly are. And then they come over here and they get a little number. And that's wrong in my opinion.
Well, that's really, it's board policy. I'm just telling you how it works with this district and why and what the philosophy is. I can tell you straight across that there are other districts that I'm associated with that will say in a multi-track deal that they'll collect at the time of connection. The problem with that is, though, I just want to do the trade-off. The trade-off is that once you give the will serve letter, you reserve the capacity, and you don't know when that capacity will be used or when you will be paid for. I'm just pointing a trade-off. So hypothetically, a developer would come in and say, I want a will, of course, I guess if it was a track map, the track map could expire, which was, of course, obviously the district of obligation. But if you had a single house or a couple houses or whatever it was, and they came in and they gave the will, if you issued a will serve letter without them paying, you've now committed to that capacity. They have an entitlement in your capacity because you give them the will serve letter. Okay. But there's no, and the district, and the county has processed the application. So what you do then is you're sitting there, and then it's up to the developer as to when he's going to want to build, and you have to reserve that capacity for the period of time until the developer commences construction. Whereas the other way around, you have your money up front, he's paying for the capacity, and when he develops, it's up to him, but there's no imbalance between the district being paid and him starting, the developer starting construction.
And you have to have the capacity paid ahead of time, therefore you can develop the capacity and assist you to serve that development.
A little bit.
There are all these very special cases, though, and we've got one out in Black Lake. This is a 40-acre site that we're supposed to have been built upon in 1992. 1996, 4 years later, and now we've got a very reputable builder who will build it, but he doesn't want to put all that money up for him. I don't blame him.
because he's gone through the county on a takeover on a foreclosure, and the county has sucked him dry, literally. And the guy is saying now, well, it's not worth it. And we want it done. We truly want it done. And I would think the district probably want it done, too.
Well, and maybe it's time to revisit that policy. That's what I'm pointing out. I'm not advocating for any one particular way of doing it. And the district has found hardships. But you have to remember, we've had hardships. What is actually, we've had to go to foreclosure. When we found a hardship and we've cut a deal for somebody that wanted some relief from the district on a will serve letter, and the one thing that we've done in the past is somebody wanted to give us a deed of trust, we've requested as a condition that all senior trustees are made subordinate to ours. And that has come out pretty good. We've had one time where we've done that, and the old senior, who now became a second, had to foreclose. Of course, we got paid without paying any money ourselves in the process.
But you had an alternative, and that's what I think you should have. I think alternative.
The problem with deeds of trust is clearly the timing issue. It's a timing issue as to when the developer will say, okay, this is the foreclosure date. And if they don't want to give you that date because they know that their projects don't always go, or very seldom go, as planned. So that's a difficulty with the deed of trust.
Yeah, and there was probably an issue with the paving program. The developer comes to all that pavement, first 4 days, paving to be ready, will serve ready, and that is recorded for the total subdivision. We start putting in the first quarter. We've got experience where they move these around the lots that have not been approved by the district. We've got situations where the developer has sold lots outside the first quarter.
Right.
Guys come in, they all want to
fill it. That's very difficult.
So it's been really complicated, the violation of the first real estate this year.
That was one thing we were worried about, as far as, if they can go out and sell this lot, and somebody buys it thinking they have a
water entitlement.
Right, it's a little tough.
Yeah.
But that's what I was thinking, as far as the deed of trust saying, hey, you don't have that deed for it.
Right.
But we know that.
Yeah, or get a letter of credit saying, come in the rest of it, the developer needs to go to the That's what it was doing.
The one thing about a letter.
I think, though, that individual cases are very important, and it doesn't mean that you should do the same thing for everybody, but there are certain cases that every effort should be made to make it as easy as possible for that particular guy, because you want him in the game. And you want him desperately.
We're working with one developer right now this week that I've spent millions of hours trying to keep his throat up ahead of it. How do you do it, Doug? And so we're being very innovative to get him going.
The
one thing that, just so you know, we can't, from my perspective as being a lawyer, I can be creative, but I try to keep my creativity limited to the assurances, the absolute assurances, that the district gets paid, so that...
See, you put that word absolute in there.
I know. Well, I do. So I'm not
nothing is minute. Absolute. There is a
right, right.
Try and secure the district as best we can.
Right.
Doug, I'm going to talk to you about this.
I think there could be some. We tried to do that.
Right.
So we have a policy, and scatterize the bands and work with the developer as much as we can, and
what I'm saying is, I think our policy should be looked at very carefully.
Right.
If we've got a situation where we should adopt another policy or policy ABC, then I think we should.
Well, maybe during the summer we can bring that policy to the board and have you review it. And
better hurry on this one.
Right. What usually what will happen, this is the way we work it, is staff will preliminary talk with a developer that wants to leave, and they will say, what will it take for us to give relief? Now, we have an ordinance, so we just have to remember that it has to be a hardship case to get around our ordinance. It has to be a finding for hardship. staff will make, will talk with them and either say, yeah, this is a project that from a staff level we can recommend, and maybe we can find, figure some way to relieve, or this is a project that is, I don't want to use a negative word, is problematic in ever reaching, from our perspective, going forward. But the developer, even if we have a recommendation, we come back to the board always approves an exception. And the developer always has the ability to say, I don't like what that lawyer's doing, I'm going to take it right to the board. And that's fine too, because it basically comes down to policy. Yeah. So they always have a direct connection to you if they want to take it.
Keep in mind that the rules are precedents.
That's right. That's the difficulty.
And the district is much more lenient now than in the past.
That's why I was asking about what makes the
If somebody tells you, you can say what makes the lawyer happy, the happiest is cash. The second thing that makes them the happiest is a letter of credit. From there on down, it kind of filters at a very fast incline. But that's just the lawyer.
I reiterated the process that we were involved in. But I need to be grounded somewhere, and I don't want to do it.
Okay.
One small item I have handed in the letter tonight to suggest to me from the California Special District Association is regarding the appointment of a member from the special districts to the County Treasury Oversight Committee, which was established in January 23rd of 1996. Ken Gaynor submitted the nomination to participate in CTOP is Byron Dwyer. Does anyone have any problems with you just checking the approval box?
Is that, who's the proof? Can I take a look at the letter?
Yes.
It's written to me.
Yeah, usually it's a presiding officer this does not call for a vote.
No.
It's somewhat analogous to us appointing a member and sending them to a CSDA meeting and asking them to participate in the vote. But I like Byron. Does anyone have any problems? So I'm going to first check here and approve it on the membership notes there. And this can be transmitted before June 21. So. Okay.
Actually, the Community Service District was approved by LAFCO. They're going to go to an election. I just tell you, the meeting I came from here to here was in the Sanitation District, and they just successfully completed, right before I came here, the consolidation of Grover Beach into the South County Sanitation District. So, there was some legislation about a year ago that, try and push consolidation so you weren't having a lot of small districts, that you get some bigger ones, and that's what's going forward. And Avila Beach is consolidating the street lighting. Well, they're going from a water district to a community services district. And they've got the LAFCO approval, they've got the board approval, they have to have the process though.
Do we need a closed session for anything further?
Beverly and I both went to the meeting at the county side to try to make the planning commission a lot more friendly to the people who are going to get permits. Do you do
this? Yeah. Oh, okay.
I couldn't stay for the afternoon session, so I don't know what went on the afternoon session. There was a lot of rhetoric in the beginning by two counties, Marley and Savannah. And Savannah said that both of those counties said by making the process a lot shorter and a lot easier, more people came in and applied for permits and began to do things for that. County San Luis Obispo says it wants to do that, so what they really want to do. But some counties say that you can come in there in an hour and get a permit. I don't know what for, but... In San Francisco, I don't think you can pay a parking ticket in an hour. But that's what they say are going to speed the process.
This was actually a seminar put on by the Economic Advisory Committee to the county. The county departments had nothing to do with this. I think that they want to, they say, respond to communities and other organizations' requests. In the afternoon, what they did is each table gave a response to different. And I didn't bring that because I didn't know that you wanted, but I have another something else I wanted to explain to you. But what it all boils down to is what everyone's asking from each of the tables that we did, if you want an overview, is for less government, less more contracting out of things, and less actually one of the suggestions was a moratorium on regulatory documents until the consistency of existing documents and computerization and simplification and community approval were put in place. So that was the hard line. The softer line was that there's many other things, but it's a long process. Our county is resistant to giving up any of their regime. They want a larger palace instead of a smaller. So, but the resistance is there on some parts and some parts it's not.
But who spearheaded the meeting?
The Economic Advisory Committee for the county. Well, from our area, John Brownihan, who is one of the members on the Pulmonary Advisory Group, and actually each of the supervisors appoints someone. Maurice Singleton from CPE is there. I can't remember too well from that. My mind's blank. It's 9:39. But I mean, I can get a list of that if you want to know who is on that committee. I do have a list of that. Maybe, did you get that, Bob, in your packet?
Yes. They only see you, Alex. I'm just trying to remember.
The table I was at was very, in fact, there was a letter from Las Osas and a proposal to the county for a localized planning commission from Las Osas trying to get their own localized planning commission. Mr. Hendricks took it upon himself to tell them that their proposal was not worthy to go before the Board of Supervisors. I don't know what position they're going to take on that. Maybe I'd be appeared with the Board of Supervisors in public comment asking why someone else was making a decision when I did not elect that person. But I don't know what they're going to do with it. So. But what I come to discuss with you tonight, and I wanted to do it in public comment time, I have been negotiating somewhat with the county library department in regards to the existing modular building that used to be the district that they allowed the county to take over, that now the library is moving into their new location, and that now is actually under the library's budget. And I'm negotiating with them to possibly leave that there instead of moving that to Santa Margarita for the purposes of social services for the Napomo area. They have agreed to make a trade. Of course, it has to be equal, a trade for a 1,000-square-foot modular building. I have talked with banks, and they would finance this particular unit to pay for the additional modular if, in fact, PG&E doesn't have some other way of getting a really good price on one, to replace this one in Santa Margarita or San Miguel. I'm not sure where the planning is anyway. But that way, we would be able to retain this building in the community. This is somewhat of an informational to you of some of the things that we're working on, but one I wanted to share with you because I would actually like to propose to the district that they maybe get involved in this, whereas the district would be the one that would be the person that purchased the building, basically through the bank will finance it. There are people lined up to lease sections of that building for social service purposes, such as the Salvation Army. There was, it looks like there would be possibly two county offices coming in, two different departments. There's a program called Steps to Self-Sufficiency, and there's other programs that are looking at sharing that facility, basing it on maybe seven modular office areas within there to house social services. If the district would entertain the idea of taking on that as maybe a service to the community in a way where you would actually come out with a revenue neutral, because the amount of money that would be paid for lease would cover the money plus any depreciation of the building. That would, and what I'm asking the board to do is maybe direct your staff to work with me on putting a full proposal where he can talk to the county administrators to himself to see, you know, numbers and figures and how that would work, and maybe talking with the bank to bring back a full proposal to the district for buying that particular modular and then leasing it back to social services, rather than it becoming a county-owned building and then we're just replacing the building in San Miguel and leasing that building back to the community, or whether, rather than us doing a nonprofit organization to do it, it would be much better if it would become a community building through our community service district. And I know you can't, you know, you don't have numbers and figures, but what I'm asking the board, if you can do, is maybe ask your staff to work with us on putting together that proposal or bringing that proposal back. And that way, you would have numbers and figures from your staff.
It's cold out there.
I
know. It's totally cold.
Well, no, let me tell you, okay, let me tell you the situation.
I mean, if it was such a great deal, these lessees would be in there trying to buy the thing themselves.
Yeah. No, these are non-profit
organizations. Why do you need NCSD as an entity to go purchase the building and then look for lessees to buy it from the take space from us?
This is, to take space from you, I'm sorry.
Right, why do we need to go?
Okay, well, you're talking about non-profit organizations. You are a community service district, okay. Services for this area are needed in social services. Our South County plan states that we should probably have those here by 1995, which is this is 1996. And no, this is not something, Steve, that the district has to do, like any of your other powers that you have. You know, you don't have to do this. This is a community effort to join into it rather than have a nonprofit company purchase the building, and lease it back to other nonprofit organizations and to the county. That will work fine too. But if the district did it, it would be a community service district. You know, it would be the community building rather than another nonprofit organization owning it. There would be negotiating situations with the county where we wouldn't have to pay any funds for the land and things like that. It's something that I would want you not to make a decision on for, because you don't have figures and facts. But something for you to have your staff maybe work with me somewhat to pull that presentation together for you. And the reason I'm approaching you on this particular item is we have until July the 15th before the building moves. And that's why I wanted to work with your staff and by July the 3rd propose to you, and that way you could make a decision then, and if you decide not to, we'd have the alternative people to do it. You, in other words, you would have, you know, what we need to do is show you the leases from the people that want to come in. We need to show you the money it would cost to keep it and what the county would allow.
Okay,
but
I have some quick questions. What is the guesstimate for the cost of the building?
Not even 20, I'm hoping under $20,000. They say that the county says they have $65,000 into that building, but all I have to do is replace the structure size. And to me, what I found that I can get is a lot less than $65,000 to replace it. In fact, PG&E may even be working towards giving us one for maybe $5,000 or $6,000 to get rid of it type of situation. It's not a lot of money. It's just the fact that that brings the community service district in more of a light of being a community service district and working in those types of things with the community. And it would be a community building rather than a nonprofit organization owning it, and definitely not the county owning it. And that's just, you know, because the county takes forever, and I'm not going to.
Yeah, I the connection for Phoenix County owns that building, it gives the quiet money for $20,000 and then goes to the amount. The county takes that money to buy another trailer or something and relocate it up in.
No, they want us to find them a neutral. So it is not, no, because if we had to give them money, Doug, we'd have to give them $65,000. That's what they say they have into it. We can find them in a modular or the same kind of a modular for a lot less money, and it's a trade, and all we would have to do is set it up where they could have it placed because they have to move this one and have it placed anyway. So that's the whole situation.
That, just so you know, that would be a real tough deal to put together before, like, July 15th.
If we have a commitment, then he's not going to move the building. It's just that we need the commitment from either a nonprofit organization. We have talked with New State Bank. They will finance it right now. They work with, you know, they want to work with the community to do that, so they would finance the building. So it's not going to be a major task like you think, and I've been working on it for about 2 weeks now, trying to find another modular and so on and so forth.
Okay, so the bank's going to finance the building. There's no out-of-pocket money for the building. The building just takes over the note or obligation to pay the note back.
The district would take over the obligation to pay the note, and it would also get the leases to collect the money to pay the note.
The other place on the leases to occupy the building would service the note, plus any other expenses to get the note.
So, but I want right this. There's no way of making a decision to use people back in front of you. So I want your manager or someone in your office to work with me, where he can get that from the bank and he can get that from the people I'm dealing with. Where you have those facts by July 3rd, where you can then make a decision.
So we can try to put this together and come back before we get this all done.
I wanted to bring you a full proposal of things that we're working on and issues we're dealing with, and give a whole proposal to you on a full scale of things. But right now, at this point in time, the urgency of them moving that building, to me, it doesn't make any sense to move a building and pay $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 to move a building that we can replace for them, and they can just take the new one and place it, and we wouldn't have a replacement chart up fee for later for doing the same thing. That's supposed to be where the community service center is going to be. So we might as well start with something like that building.
How disastrous is the staff interface that we're going to do this?
Yeah, we could do that better. If you don't have it, and try to put together for the tax we can bring it to the board on the floor.
I'll do the major amount of work, give them the phone numbers and everything else. It'll be less work on your staff.
You don't realize that the county got down to the final wire left with that piece of property, $85,000, and they already almost all the way to the bottom line and decided they want, $300,000?
I think I'm very aware of their politics and their way of speaking. And I know.
What I have to understand is that I don't want them to try to use this district to raise taxes or levy fees on the members of this district. That's some of the things that they got in mind. They want us to take over the roads and a whole bunch of stuff, but we become the bad guy and levy taxes on the people in the district. And I don't want to part of that. So, that's another thing that when I get in bed with the county, I think it's not really.
But at the same time, Bob, at the same time.
I understand that, but they want us to take over the roads and a whole bunch of stuff because they want to spend the money on something else.
Well, it's interesting to me, though, that this district has just one thing, really, and that's water. And then they have Nahomo Lighting, which was brought in because they're very convenient. But I do honestly believe that a district should be just exactly that and should involve themselves with as many community projects as possible. It doesn't mean that we have to take them all on, but it certainly means that we certainly should visit with whoever has one and find out if it's good for us.
I agree with that, because that's part of all of it's at least revenue neutral.
Yes, exactly.
We're not going to raise water rates and support
Well, no, then.
It's revenue neutral and staff can use a little amount of effort to analyze it.
That brings up something that Mr. Senator, Nicole Lane, he had black lady, but he was on Nicole Lane. But
beg your pardon, I meant black lady.
All right. So did you want to proceed with maybe looking at taking on Nicole Lane?
I'm going to bring your proposal on a large scope of things, including some of the things you're discussing. So that would be on the 3rd, and so I'll be on the agenda then, and we can all go home tonight.
Good, that'd be good for you to be on the
I sit here and wait all night to talk to you, Steve.
Well, I know.
All right.
We could just as easily have a number for you.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you very much.
Does the board need to put in the agenda the situation for the
project? Right, yeah. We have street light. I think we have light, though. Water and sewer.
I talked to last with that mayor, and I don't even need to go. I'm not sure. We already have the power from Paul, but we need some for that. But we already have the power from the reorganization.
There's a commitment to do that.
What?
On our part. To assume to offer more services.
Exactly. We have what we call active powers, which is basically those four. But we want to take on a latent power, one that we haven't used. We have to take it to last.
I don't know if our charter includes social services.
No, but what I would be seeing the district. Number one is, this is news to me too. So I got to take a look at it and see if the district can do it from a legal point of view. But I would assume that what the district would be doing is investing in some type of structure that it would need in the future for services, a portable building, and at the same time maybe figuring out a way they can pay for it on a some revenue neutral scheme.
You would be providing a service to the community by facilitating a facility for social services to lease that from you. On a very reasonable rate, yet you would still.
You see, what the directors are pointing out is not the bad, but we don't have the social service power. And that's not, but where I think the distinction is we can certainly buy real property and we can certainly buy buildings. The question is buying them or purchasing them for a need that the district might have in the future at a good deal, which this apparently sounds like it could be. I'm ready to stay here. And then in the meantime, lease it out to somebody so that you can, so you're saving the building for a future need that is likely to come around. You know, that's how the district would probably approach it. I'm dangerous. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock.
Well, isn't the building worth $65,000?
Huh?
Isn't the building worth $65,000?
How would we know that? How we had
the modular? That's just what they said they had into it. It has to be appraised. The bank will be appraising.
$65,000
for me is outrageous.
How big is the building?
It's
a double wide
modular. The 1,000 square foot office. The one across the street.
Shouldn't the county sell it for what it's worth so that we tax free?
That's
not a possibility.
It belongs to the library.
Sir,
state your name.
George Kyler. I've got a couple comments for you on that planning stuff. To Marion County, I talked to the supervisor over there a while back. They got rid of 5 top department heads, 12 under them and 18 under them. They get things done 25% faster now over there. And as far as in Nevada, a friend of mine who's over there bought a lot for $7,000 acre and a quarter. $100 for a permit for well or septic tank, put anything else on it, no permit, no fees. Now, why do we need all this money here? And also, I was talking to a guy in Oregon, their building code was up there, 8 pages, given to you for your building code. And also, you would pay $160 a year license fee on a motorhome, and up there, rent your car and motorhome for 2 years for $60. And here we got 3,000 county employees, so figure it out. Thank you.
Doug Mayer, I just reread the Boyle report, and I still don't see a very large property to purchase in that. What was the name of that again?
John, as I recollect, that there was two reports that were prepared by the district. One was the Water Sewer Master Plan, which is the Boyle report. And then, as I recollected, there was the Kennedy Jinks evaluation of the wastewater treatment plant that was done in conjunction with Gehring and Taylor. And I'm just
all right. So it's not in the Boyle report. Okay. So you're suggesting it might be in the Gehring and Taylor report.
Okay.
I'll write a letter.
Well, that's because the Gehring and Taylor, the Kennedy Jinks did the sewer plant.
Well, the sewer plant evaluation.
Right. Boyle report was everything about the sewer plant.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, well, I was confused because I was talking about the Boyle report.
The sewer plant was contacted with the Gehring Gear Association.
You're invited to our informal area advisory group meeting with the public meeting and everyone on the tomorrow night, 7 p.m. all in CSP building.
Do you ever hand that case?
No.
Gene was walking my thing. Okay, do we need a closed session? Okay, brief closed session. As long as you have litigation and litigation, the film.
The government code section 549.56.9.
Okay, thanks for coming.
John, I wasn't trying to be hard on you. I was just trying to find out where it was because
I read this Boyle report and it's not in there. Sorry. But it doesn't really say.
It's not on there.
It doesn't really say that it just, the Boyle report doesn't say less.
I got to tell you one thing. You know, the guy that wrote that plan for Parkland Maria sure had an easier hand. Much more.
I didn't know whether that was good or bad.
Why?
The easier hand was more flexible.
The carpenter.
Yeah. Well,
I would tell anybody you endorsed it. Should I go back and say that's not right?
Yeah, you should say that. Because I don't necessarily endorse that plan.
I'm just kidding.
I wasn't there at the meeting. I am not your friend.